Hello and welcome back for the long-awaited interview with the vampire season 2. What Can the Dam Really Say to the Dam? Directed by Craig Ziss, teleplay by Hannah Moscovich. I thought it was a really strong reintroduction into our world. We're pretty much picking up 24 hours after the reveal regarding the fact that Armand is an ancient vampire that is also the love of Louis's life. Now, we left the series, at least season 1, with apprehension because we immediately, maybe in denial as a Lestat and Louis fan, shipper, whatever you want to call it, that those words were apocryphal and something must be, or he must be under some spell to even say as much. But having gotten away from such irrational feelings and emotions, and I went back and reread Interview with the Vampire, and I read The Vampire Lestat, or I listened to the audiobooks. So I'm pretty fresh up on exactly what the events that went down were versus my 8-year-old recall of reading the novel. And now I have, I think, a better grasp of how they could possibly go with this season, but they've also made it very clear for Brook readers that there are going to be surprises that are not going to align completely with what the text is. And that's the most exciting part to me when there's an adaptation, is it's not really meant to be an exact copy and paste. It's meant to have all of the essence of the book, but try to reinvigorate it with its more modern interpretation. And I think they're doing a fantastic job just even by having both Claudia and Louis be Black Americans, because there's a reaction there versus if it was just the Interview with the Vampire movie versions of Louis and Claudia, there would have not been as much of a comedic opportunity and also a very... something I don't think some people really don't think about. And I know because I've had conversations with friends of mine and they're like, oh my God, I never really thought that there's no Black people in Germany. I'm like, yeah, we're not everywhere. There are places we just don't exist. And if we do, it's so minute, it can't even be part of the consensus. That is neither here nor there. I like... having that, it feels as a Black woman very relatable. Like when that kid touched Claudia's face and was like, "Crow," and she just smacked him to the ground in one tap. Bitch, move! She move! On one hand, he really wasn't trying to be evil, but on the other hand,
you gonna learn today.
I did watch the season trailer, so there's that. I typically don't watch those, but I watched this one. I ate everything up that I could once I realized that the show was debuting last week. While I haven't watched the panel yet, that's the only thing I have yet to watch. I've watched a couple of interviews. Can't say I ate everything up. I do get distracted. Like, I'll go down a rabbit hole for about an hour and then I'm like, okay, we move on to something else. One of the takeaways was that the events in season 2 are going to recontextualize some events in season 1. Both Armand and Louis have differing reasons of why they wanted this interview. And then a summing up quote from Sam Reed regarding Lestat, because that's the shipper name, because I think that this is something to take into consideration from where I'm already mentally projecting where I think the season's going to go and explore. And I'm already super excited about it. And this first episode reinforced that. And I really like where I think the direction is going. Quote, Louis afraid of his vampirism and Lestat's afraid of his humanity. That's why they work, or they will. That's why they complete each other. That's why they need each other. That's why they'll always hate each other. And that's why they'll always be desperately in love with each other. End quote. I will go down with this ship. And I won't put my hands up and surrender. It resonated with me because I feel like a lot of Lestat's actions in the first season, Turkly particularly, towards the end of the season was a lot of him doubling down on his vampirism in the face of a lot of emotional conflict with Claudia and Louis. And you have this season where we're starting out with Louis still trying very much to retain that humanity. Anytime he's just around humans, he naturally gravitates to who he used to be, while consistently in this first episode trying to remove himself from the idea of falling further into his vampirism by finding others like him and assimilating into this new life versus this very cut-off life from other vampires that he and Lestat were for the most part living a life in comfort doing their own thing. Whereas Claudia's like, no, I want to get to the root cause of all of this and where we come from and the maker of that maker and the maker of that maker and hell, possibly God. She's searching for purpose and a reason and a place to belong. And I'm like, that's all of us, vampire or human. That type of existential crisis comes at us all at some point. But alas, for Claudia, it has led to them going to Europe in the middle of a war, which is where we catch up with Claudia and Louis coming out of the ground. I do appreciate the breaking of the fourth wall by stating, hey, the previous actress, Bailey Bass was playing Claudia, and now we have a new actress playing her. And of course, I don't have her name on deck, but I will shout it out, of course. Delaney Hayles, who I think does a marvelous job. I felt no disconnect between, and I think it helps that it's been like a year since the show has premiered, so it allows for that natural transition to happen, unless you were just balls deep into rewatching up until this point, which I was not. So it wasn't quite the jump, or I didn't have an issue at all with her slipping right into the role. And I think she did a fantastic job. But they're coming out of the ground. She's still the active killer in the duo, throwing Louis a heart to eat that he takes a big old chunk out of. Do you think that much blood would be still in your heart once you have stopped breathing? But he sounded like he was possibly still alive. So I don't know why I needed to get into the scientific of that, except that Louis had spit out a ring like it was a bone after they walked away from that situation. They're on the hunt for any vampires. They have not in 5 years come across any of their kind, no matter how hard they've been trying. And Claudia has been learning languages, killing people after they have taught her the language, she has taken a very manic, active role in trying to find Dracula, which has taken them to Romania, even though they were in Germany. Having Daniel and Armand insert themselves in the vocally and the events that's happening in the past was a really smart way to convey that this is a retelling, that we actually haven't been transported and we haven't forgotten where we were, but we're not stuck in that. We've moved on and that's fine. We're picking back up where we need to be. They are reading from Claudia's diaries, which we find out are incomplete. There are pages missing, not pages that Armand took out. They both are aware that there are pages missing. He says, I won't share them with Daniel, but I need to see them because there are memories that are bubbling up to the surface that I have not been in touch with, likely for a very long time. And I'm going to put it out here at the top of the hour. I think that Louis is dealing with a lot of, and I don't think Armand did anything to him, or if he did, it was at Louis's discretion to scramble his truths. And I think somewhere along the line in this retelling, and likely with the death of Claudia eventually, that's going to occur, that he has locked a part of himself away, possibly even his humanity, right? So that he could continue to survive and live without her. But now that he is reconnecting with his memories and they're reasserting themselves into the truth, and he's becoming more fixated in what that truth actually is, and the concerned looks Armand gives him at him delving into his mind and finding inconsistencies, I'm starting to feel that the season is going to be Louis going to a very dark place. And I don't just mean a suicidal place, which is what many are putting out there. And considering what we saw in the first episode here at the end with poor Dacienna, it's understandable to make that assessment. But the dark place I think that he's going to go is the final embrace of his vampirism in the worst of ways, where he denies his humanism. So his memory, that's the monster, which has been in the trailers, is what he has done. And I think it also leads up to that first interaction he had with Daniel, where Armand said, I won't be there to save your life next time. I think that, and it's poetic, that Louis would manifest himself into the person that he hates the most. Without any success, air raids, and continuous lies throughout the country about their father-daughter relationship and that he's a mute, the stories that they come up with. I do love that there's very little indecision in Claudia as a person. What do you call her? A manic tour guide? Because she is the more competent of the two, and it puts Louis in the very same position that he kind of felt underneath Lestat. And like, he's just not the leader in whatever relationship is going on. He's not the dominant. That's the word I'm more looking for. And so he finds himself submissively under Claudia's desires because she hasn't talked to him due to her rage at him not burning Lestat like they planned to do. But I do like what she said later on when they had that argument in the boiler room. Like, no, I've forgiven you for fucking up my plan, but I haven't forgiven you for bringing him with you because he's still in your heart. And the only thing you want more than anything else is to jump back on a boat across the ocean and find the dump yard that you buried him in, a landfill that you buried him in, and dig up his bones. And she refuses to allow that to be the height of what it means for them to exist in this world. And I understand her viewpoint, especially as she wasn't there at the developing of their relationship. She was there or inserted and adopted into an already split between, a philosophical split between these two people who love each other very much. And I still contend that Louis made her the crutch in that. And now she's become the sister that he's lost, so he doesn't feel like he's lost completely what he had before in his family. But now he is in a position where, exactly like previously, where he had his family and the love of his sister, where there's a part of him that needs something else that that was able to fulfill in that role. I am glad that he referred to her as brother, or when they were having that conversation where he was trying to talk to her about how the blood was bad and it's sad and depressing and it affects them and they can't get warm, which is interesting. But he didn't refer to her as a daughter. And I've been seeing that quite often in the fandom. Like, oh, his daughter. Well, no, that's not his daughter. That's certainly the role in which he initiated her. But as she grew up, she's no longer a 14-year-old girl. She looks like a 14-year-old girl. So, of course, they would have to change their relationship. And they're more like brother and sister. If anything, Lestat, or as he's called in this, I was wondering how they're going to bring Lestat in here, because I needed to see my brat prince, and they did it in the best of ways by making him Dreamstat, which is something that the actor who plays Louis came up with himself, because he know we like the catchy shit. So Dreamstat is what she feels on him that's causing them not to have conversation, not just because we didn't kill him. Now, keep in mind, in vampire lore, it's not out of the realm. Like, it's eventually gonna happen that the master and the one who turned him are gonna hate each other. And hate each other to the point where they don't want to be around each other and blame the other for a lot of shit. Mainly their existence, which is why Lestat was about consent, even though there's still a debate on whether or not Louis consented to be a vampire. I will demur from that conversation because I think I've already stated as much as I needed to state in the first season regarding that. Louis is not a victim, and I will not put him in that category because that disservices the growing person that he is continuing to evolve into. Speaking of Louis, as they are rummaging for food, because that's exactly how Claudia views humans. She doesn't, I think that's what Dreamstat made a point of, was that after all of these years, you're still looking for her to be someone that she's not. And that is something he's pondering, as far as, I think he wanted to find in Claudia more of his humanity, or she would display more of the humanity side of it. He's very tolerant and dismissive of how violent she can be and cold. But the love they have for each other is real and warm, and their family. So, of course, he's not going to judge her for it. because it's her nature. But it's not to say he doesn't have this small part of him that would like for her nature to have been different. So when he hallucinates Dreamstat, as he says to Daniel, he came at my invitation. First of all, so let's talk about how Sam Reed made sure he came back from the dead in the most dramatic fucking fashion one can come back from the dead. I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Did the bat really need to come out of his neck? But how he is, and I love that they confirm this in the inside of the episode because I was not sure. And then when I kept watching, I was like, oh, okay, so I won't be speculating on this one. I'm actually right. That he was kind of mimicking, not just making fun of Louis, but he is in a lot of ways Louis. He's not Lestat. And you can tell because Lestat would never say, I'm going to bloody kill you. He's going to say, I'm going to fucking kill you. Nor would Lestat be as diabolical in his revenge, considering his own actions that night, that he wouldn't appreciate in a lot of ways the coup d'etat that Claudia enacted. And if he would find fault and revenge with anyone, it would be Claudia. So there is this already, what's the right word I'm looking for? Distorting of the man that he knew. And it's been 5 years since he's been with that person. And I'm sure he's been, since he feels like he murdered him, murdered the person he loved more than anyone else in the world, despite what he be trying to tell Claudia. He's living with an immense amount of guilt and remorse and shame and a heartbreak on top of the trauma of war, and then drinking the blood of people that are in just the worst places emotionally to be at. It feels like this Dreamstat is a way for, or is going to be a way for Louis to reconcile his own self, because I don't think he understands or knows who he is outside of what his family expectations were. Then there was the relationship with Louis, where he was admittedly, yes, discovering a lot of firsts for himself and what he wanted and what he desired. And now he really is alone and he's at the reins. There's no one to hold accountable for the actions that you take. So who are you? What do you want? What can make you happy? And is finding these vampires really going to fill that void that he mentions that is within him? And the resurgency of memory is, I don't know, might be more explosive, because I didn't like how he was walking away and put his feet in the sand like he needed to calm himself down from doing something violent. I do recall that from the first season. He yells at Claudia, but she doesn't respond because they wasn't talking at that point. It's clear that in his mind, yeah, he's like, oh, you know, stop having remorse. You're ruining it with remorse. It was a perfect type of betrayal that you did. He said, I'm going to write a new song, Concerto for the Gash Throat and Orchestra. Death of Distinction. That's what he said it was. But he tells himself that Lestat hasn't come after him if he was alive after all this time, because he's just waiting for him to be happy so that he can remove the rug under from him. But I also think that he's grappling with the idea that Lestat might actually be dead and he might have actually murdered him and he isn't coming back. And I think both realities are frightening for him, but one is far more despairing than the other. And the other at least gives him hope that he will see the person that he loves and he actually did not murder him. Even if it comes at the even if it comes at some type of consequence, right? Then we have Claudia and he finding a woman in a village named Amelia. We meet her husband, who is an American. He knows that people around here are just backwards and believe in things that aren't true, but Claudia is excited at the idea that there might be a vampire around because everyone's wearing garlic and putting up crosses and doing things that actually don't harm them, even though they may know more than they say, because they're saying they're backwards and shit, but they knew to cut the fucking head off and not shoot.
He's too dangerous to be left alive.
I like that he told Claudia, you can find out more from the kids to not hurt her feelings, because she can't sit at a table with the adults. She definitely side-eyed him for introducing himself as Robert, then immediately saying, no, just call me by my real name, because the idea of interacting with humans doesn't bother him the way it bothers Claudia. It's irrelevant. Human affairs don't matter to her, and she doesn't see anything worth value there, but he does still love the sound of music and still wants to dance and have the camaraderie of talking to people who are simply normal and living their lives. So he wants to have some happiness and just the experience of living. But Claudia is more interested in finding the vampire. Did you see that kid? What was his name? Andre? He straight went over and started rifling through his bag. Louis just looked at him. I would have been like, what the fuck you think you doing, little shit? He's out there smoking too. We gave him a cigarette. He's like, show the little girl where all the other kids at. And we trying to go out and bait the creature in the forest that we all know about. Claudia goes out, finds the vampire that doesn't look like a vampire, but she's so desperate that she'll take anything. This is one of the revenant vampires, the old world vampires. Well, an old world vampire and a revenant vampire, which is kind of like a zombie vampire. I loved Louis's response to this vampire. He's like, no, what the fuck is that? I'm a vampire. That's catfish with teeth. Claudia said, us and you the same. No, not the same. Not even close.
Hey, oh, that's too much. Now you stepped over the line. Now we won't be talking that kind of shit.
But he still follows her lead. Very, I wouldn't say meekly, but very hesitantly. He's not all in on this. He never was, and I don't think he's ever going to be. It doesn't matter to him in the same way it matters to her. Even though he's intrigued, there's nothing to say he isn't intrigued, he's just not quite as invested. So like she shows her teeth eagerly, but it's very copying of whatever she does, I'm just going to support. And that's when we meet Dancia after they kill her son. They knew that she was a mother to whatever the fuck that thing was. It was attacking Louis. She didn't even take it personal because she knew, like, she came out of fucking nowhere and attacked Louis. Louis was holding his own for a bit, but then the big sucker came over and he was not, and Claudia had to take him out because Claudia is more vicious. It was sad. He was having so much fun being the magical vaca negro. I will say the cattiness in this episode, certainly in the present, but with Claudia and Louis, was great. As they were in the boiler room, she's like, I saw a vampire. You sure it wasn't a baboon? He's in denial. And she says, well, if he can't take you to the ball and tell you you're pretty, fuck him. Shots fired. But Claudia makes another really good point. I've met 4 vampires in my life and they're all bastards. Lestat, Antoinette, the motherfucker, and you. Never mind, you're kind of a bastard too, but that's why we love you. Everyone is broken. I think she thinks if she finds a community of vampires, it'll alleviate the feeling of her not being able to experience, because she is being held back, being a 14-year-old. She can't go up to a man that she likes without looking at him like he's a pedophile, even though she knows that she's much older. Unfortunately, what she presents, she's stuck far, far, far more than Louis is stuck. And he put her in that scenario. And I think it's that responsibility as well that has him double down on his commitment to Claudia in the end, because they both have been in a place where they've been really low. But neither of them have considered putting or throwing themselves in the flames. And he really is concerned that Claudia may feel that way. And even he is starting to feel that way. But he is mentally focused on another eventual possible reunion. They follow the woman and they see that she has been feeding them bad blood. And because Louis can only speak very little broken Romanian, she has to interpret that the blood, it's making them sad. They can all feel it. I can feel it. We're over from the ocean. We're looking for more like us. She explains that the last one of them was the one that they killed. She offers her blood to the vampire, who at first said, yeah, we own the night, right? We're this, we're that. We're going to go out and we're going to have fun and we're going to eat who we want and do what we want. And she's got all this excitement lined up that Claudia has so been desperately wanting to hear, only for her to say, we own nothing. And then yeeted herself into that fire.
Old people burning, old people burning. Put your hands up. Old people burning, old people burning. That's kind of messed up.
Which really fucks Claudia up. Another piece of her soul has been left. Because she now realizes that this is... what can the damn say to the damned? When you have nothing to look forward to but a damned life. Unless she meets like a 17-year-old vampire that she clicks with and not just gets with just because. Although there are other vampires, I'm sure that... no, because actually they don't turn children. That's a big no-no. She's more damned than the rest of them. Let's just put it out there. She definitely has a reason to be in the place, because he says, don't feel sorry for yourself. Ain't nobody watching. I'm like, well, that's easy for you to say, bitch. You don't got my problems. But of course, I like how he did give her this speech in the wagon and how it was filmed, that if you were the last vampire on Earth, it would be enough. The gentle sadness in Dreamstat's eyes as he looks at her, because he knows it's not the truth.
I'm disrespectful as the fuck.
As stated earlier, Dreamstat is Louis. He's a version of Louis. And he's having really an internal psychotic break within himself, a split personality within himself, because he wants to believe that that's true. But it's something that Dreamstat brought up the first time. Was it worth it? Is it enough? Why would Louis be asking himself these questions if he wasn't certain of that answer? Then he continues to see Dreamstat in the bloodied state that he left him, also reinforces exactly, and the reinforcement of the idea of leaving pieces of yourself in places. I think that a piece of Louis, a huge piece of Louis, was left behind. And while he still has his humanity, I do think Claudia is the only thing that's keeping that under a leash. Which is where we can go to Daniel. Notice I didn't talk about him in the present, because I loved everything he was doing with Real Rashid. It's like, Real Rashid, let me ask you something. As a member of the inferior species, he knows something's up. He knows something's up. Like, why did you bury this lead? Why did you need to pretend to dress up in a costume? Louis was making excuses. My love used to run a theater company. No, your love was in a box buried in a landfill, according to Claudia. So let's go with what she says. He refuses to accept from what he has learned and what has been expressed how possibly Armand could be the love of his life, even if he is his current lover. Because there's just too much palpable tension, even in the past, between Louis and Lestat, for that to be blasphemy. And Armand is starting to influence and interfere in the interview process, which also puts his hackles up. But because he's not going on record, he continues to say disregard. I do love Rashid. That actor, oh my God. Like, there's a lot of sexy actors on this show, but I think Rashid might have taken it. Because when he put his hand on his cheek and just leaned forward, I was like, oh.
Baby.
I love the sass between he and Daniel. Because he annoys him to the point that he actually goes away, because he's like, maybe we should take a break. And he looks over at him. He doesn't say, I'm going to take a break. And then they continued on in the interview. And because he wasn't listened to, he left. And that's when Louis had that beautiful scene. Honestly, how the actors in this show didn't get nominated last year, particularly Jacob Anderson. Honestly, Jacob Anderson and Sam Reed should have taken it. But Jacob Anderson already trying to come for the Emmys, and they'll never do him justice. I wish we could just come up with our own fucking Emmys under under a more better assessed filming critic crowd, because they give it to mediocrity all the time. And this is fucking acting. This is work. Even with Sam Reed and his very small scenes, was so much work. And he thanks Daniel that he wants this, and he thanks him because he's having these, there's things that she wrote in her journal that he took as truth. Like, oh, she doesn't dream, but I woke up and I saw her dreaming. And she had a nightmare, and what could be worse than the waking if you're having a nightmare? So there's so much that he himself hasn't, as I've used the word probably overly much at this point, but reconciled with his own memory. Then he goes, oh, I love their bedroom. When he walked by and he was putting on his pajamas, it's like, I love that lighting back there. Then when he went in the bed, and we see that Armand is very tech savvy, because he can dim the lights, he can do everything with that computer, and he has to look at the pages, which we already discussed. And then as soon as he gave him what he wanted. He leaned over and gave him that kiss, and that kiss was basically thank you. You've hurt me. Armand definitely looked like he wanted more passion in that kiss than he got. I don't think we've ever seen two people more in love but distant from each other in ways that is not explained. And he does demur and say, okay, what's your hot take on the situation? Because at first he's like, you should end the interview or you should end it. And then he's like, no. And his first thought wasn't put him on a plane. His first thought was kill him. And that's Louis, mind you. Because a lot of people are taking the stance that Armand is the villain in this situation. And I do not take that stance at all. I think that Armand certainly has secrets to tell. But his love for Louis feels very genuine. He feels protective. But he also wonders how this interview is going to affect their relationship in the future. And where is this interview? Where is its conclusion? Why was that metal racking? Was that the metal crackling? Was that the, I didn't know what that was. Was that like some cedar blocks coming down to block out the sun? I'm not quite sure. It doesn't matter for him. Because he's oblivious to the sun. Doesn't affect him. So I just thought that was two very large sounds that they clearly wanted us to take note of. I was like, okay. Are they in like a concrete building around? I don't know. And he says, the boy that we met in San Francisco, who doesn't understand the meaning of the story, is still in there. We just need to bring him out so that we can get him to say what we want him to say. So there is an agenda they agreed on before this interview took place, even though they both clearly have separate agendas. And then they go to sleep. And then the next day they come out and they're holding hands. And Daniel's over there just whistling away. And they sit down. And every time he sees both of them, he's like,
what kind of bullshit is this?
This time, Louis's all affectionate. He's trying to assure Armand. Armand ain't gonna last long. Daniel knows how to piss him the fuck off. He is not the same person. He says he's in there. I believe it. But also, I keep forgetting these motherfuckers can read minds. And that's really unsettling. I feel like that's something Daniel should bring up. Like, wait a minute, you know what I'm thinking. So the disrespect when he started to speak, and he's like, we'll get to you. You're not going to take over this interview, as I completely fear you're going to. And whatever is being hidden, it certainly stems from something you're hiding. And that's why he's like, I can break Louis, but it's you that I fear. And I think in the trailer, someone was talking to Daniel and they said, no, it's not Armand you should fear. It's the other one. And I feel as if that's going to be a continued theme throughout the season. That's where we left the episode, because we're starting where they're in France or Paris, where they're going to meet up with, finally, some vampires, is my guess. I don't have to guess. There's also, he brought up, and only because they brought it up, about a deal to buy some type of bacon. I don't know what it is, but it's an anonymous person. He's like, I'll do my due diligence, but the offer is profound. So who the fuck is that? And am I supposed to know? And they keep saying this is the vampire, the Anne Rice world. And I didn't watch the other one, The Witches of Witches, and whatever that one's called. I was not even close to being interested. I tried getting through the first episode and it just didn't attract to me in the same manner. All of the actors and all of the writing on this show is top notch. If maybe they had the same people maybe it would have made a difference, but I'm only intrigued in this aspect of the series, the spinoffs at this point. Is there anything else I want to mention? I do not think so, but we do have feedback. So let's hop into the mailbag. What up, Stina? It's Mimi. This is feedback for Interview with the Vampire, Season 2, Episode 1. I'm starting to think maybe I should have done a rewatch of this show because, like, I remember the general... Oh, my God. I don't know if you can hear this cat. She is such a whiner, and it's very annoying. She's mad because we locked her away because she keeps pissing on shit, and she's whining about it. Anywho... I remember, like, the general overview, and they did have a nice little recap over the season one, but I wish I'd have done a rewatch at least of maybe the last ladder of the episodes of season one, because I have this internal annoyance with Louis, and I know I hated Lestat. And I am starting to not like Armin. I'm going to call him Armin. I don't know. I'm the vibe I'm getting from him now that he's himself and he's not being Rashad. It was funny that he kept calling him that. But now that he's not being someone else and he's being himself, I don't know that I necessarily like him. I'm getting a vibe that I'm not quite sure about. I don't know if it's possessive or I feel like he might be Lestat as well. And I don't know that I like him. I'm getting a vibe, and I saw I know, like, sometimes they have you think a show is going a certain way and it doesn't, but they did have a little overview at the end of the episode of what's to come for season two. And I'm starting to think my girl Claudia didn't die like someone killed her. I think she might have killed herself, and Louis is blaming himself because one of the things I kept hearing, I don't know if it was from season one, that's why I'm wishing I'd rewatch when the interviewer, I'm blanking on his name, but he basically said you picked Lestat over Claudia multiple times, and it sounds like he's going to pick another man over his daughter. I'm not saying that he's fallen into that black man trope where you pick others over black women. I'm not gonna say that, but that's what it's starting to feel like. I'm really starting to question Louis, and I'm not sure if he's gonna move out of my shit list. But I definitely think he's losing his shit. I know Lestat can't read his mind anymore, but I do feel like as old as Lestat is, maybe he knows some tricks because he's clearly getting into his mind, even from far away. And because he's his maker, and I'm going to use the Vampire Diary lore because it's the one that I feel like I've been accustomed to the longest, because I watched all of the Vampire Diaries, all of the originals, and all of Legacy. So I feel like I got a good 15 years of the Vampire Diary lore, but because Louis was made by Lestat, they have a connection that I don't know that even Louis is accustomed to. But the way he was acting with Claudia, like, I get she probably has some unresolved issues with Louis, especially because they did not kill Lestat like she wanted. And she's probably holding onto a grudge and being petty. But she's still a child
ish compared to Louis. It's been 30 years, so Claudia has got it. She's 40 human years old, so she should know better. She definitely doesn't act like a little toddler like she did before, but she is definitely acting like a teenager, I would say. She's being very, very petty and very quiet and not saying her piece, because it's clear she has some shit on her chest. What I did not like, though, like, I understand her first encounter with a person that was, her first encounter with a vampire other than the family that she already knew was a really bad, traumatic one. I definitely remember that, and I know that. But my girl is too smart to be acting stupid, okay? When she found the vampire in the woods, in the forest, like, I know you see Vetna right there. Does he look like you? Let's say he is a vampire. Did it ever occur to you maybe he's a different breed? Like, how you look at him and then look at yourself. Look at him, look at yourself, and you're like, yeah, finally I found one. We're the same. Are you the same? And I'm going to need Louis to stand up, sir, because I know you're looking at the same thing I'm looking at. I know you see that Vetna type vampire ain't the same as you. Even the lady Drachnima or so, whatever her name was, y'all not the same. And I don't think it has anything to do with her being European vampire. Y'all different. Different. And whether it's the theory is the blood or whatever it is, y'all different. I'm going to need you to act like it. Why would you see that monstrosity and be like, yay, I found one of us? Girl, stop. Really, I'm gonna need you to get it together. It was, I was like, Louis, please act like a daddy and tell her to stop. Like, anything could happen to y'all with this older vampire from another country that y'all don't know making these monstrosities. Like, it looked like she had a whole bunch of soldiers and she kept trying to make children, quote unquote, and only one stuck. And then Claudia went and ripped his eyeballs out. And the way she murdered him all violently so quickly, she's clearly unhinged. Okay, she's clearly lonely and she's unhinged. And anything is possible. I don't understand why y'all acting like we not seeing the same thing. Y'all are way older than me. You're smarter. I can't be the only one to see this. Why would you follow her? I'd have been like, Louis, if I was Louis, I'd have been like, nah, Claudia, we up. Let's go. Our time has spent. We've been made. Let's get the fuck out of here. I don't understand why he's acting like this. And then during the interview, when he was like, you know, I want to see those pages that we took out of Claudia's diary. And I'm thinking, in my personal opinion, that Armand is somehow responsible for Claudia's death. Maybe it wasn't intentional. Maybe he was jealous of Lestat, because I know there's going to be an encounter. There's no way. I'm thinking that Armand is the reason that Lestat is dead, because it seems like it would take an ancient vampire to kill an older vampire, because they're strong, clever, and they know a lot of stuff. So I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking is the case, but I guess we will see. But like I said, I saw the preview for what's to come, and I have this feeling that Armand is hiding something, and I really think it has something to do with Claudia. He was like, my name is in that paperwork too. Okay, that's fine. You made yourself known. You could have stayed the butler Rashid, and nobody would have known. You're the one that told him who you really are. And now you're worried about your name being there. Y'all doing a fucking interview to announce to the world that vampires exist. Like, why are you concerned about your name, sir? His whole reasoning don't even make sense to me. Y'all could have kept this shit out. I don't remember exactly what country they're in. I know it's somewhere in Europe. And I don't know why they decided to go there, but I'm glad they're going to be going back to Louisiana and the Bayou come next episode, because I really need to see what 1940s, 1950s Louisiana Bayou looks like. It looks like, I don't know if they're finding a group of vampires, but the lore from the Vampire Diaries is a lot of vampires be up in the bayou. I'm just saying, a lot of them are in Louisiana and New Orleans. So we'll see what happens there. But I just, it looks like they worship Lestat. I'm not sure. Lestat. I don't know why I'm having trouble pronouncing the name. It doesn't matter. But this episode was okay. I don't know if I'm just, like I said, if it's just because I'm missing something or if it's because I am not remembering right. I'm just trying to understand why Louis is following Claudia so blindly, probably out of guilt. But anywho, I'll end it here. Until next time, love, peace, hair grease, Black Girl Magic, Queen of the Couch, Mimi out.
That was Queen Mimi with her thoughts on the episode. I am going to say you probably want to look at the last couple episodes just to refresh. I do remember that we were not on the same page, that you really hated Lestat, which is fair. I love Lestat. I will not love Lestat. And I think I made it clear about what my shipping loves are. I do have a way, now even more so, of a comprehension of the story arc than you do at this moment, because I actually went and fucking read the books, which I kind of regret I did, because now I'm pretty much going to have to be mum on a lot of shit in your speculation, other than that sounds interesting. So I can't say anything other than I think that your vibes are vibing, but there are a few things that I'm going to disagree with, only because I just don't see it that way, not because of any book knowledge. And that's being about Claudia, that, well, no one is too smart to be stupid. That's always, I always got to caveat that, because everyone's like, when smart people do stupid things, they're like, well, you're too smart to do stupid things. We're human. We're all irrational. We all do dumb, stupid things. Doesn't intelligence and emotional reacting are not the same. But I think, well, I'll say these two things. I think for me, there are no true, at least introduced yet, except for the motherfucker, as Claudia calls him, true villains within these vampires. They're flawed individuals, but they're all dealing with a certain monster. And I think because, and that's why I love, gonna love the season, because we haven't seen Louise, or it's not as prevalent, because I think that Louis do be on his stuff, that it's easier to feel more empathy for him as a character. And he's the main narrator at this point. We're seeing everything through his point of view. Whereas it's easier to see other vampires as the quote unquote villains or being nefarious, but in truth, they're all monsters. None of them. I mean, the fact that Louis can count that he's killed 7,000 people in the last 5 years doesn't negate the fact that he's killed 7,000 people in the last 5 years. He still eats when necessary. He doesn't stick to his vegan diet. That's kind of like a vegan nowadays, that be on some shit 1 minute, but on the next will do what needs to be done. Because in the end, as he walked away, I forgot about that whole scene where his wife was Amelia, who helped them, who he had that connection to. They're ready to chop her head off, and he's begging the other guy that he was talking to, begging Morgan, I think is the name, for help. And he walked away like, human affairs are not my business. So despite him wanting to retain his humanity and finding value in that, there's the other side of his nature that, if necessary, will gobble them up without a second thought. And they could have wives and families and be good people. Claudia is actually really bad because she doesn't just kill. She likes to keep trophies. So while it's understandable, once again, that empathy regarding the scenario she finds herself in and why she wants to find others like herself, she is the dominant in this relationship. And it has been. She's been the, like I said, I feel like he loves her. Those things are, that doesn't invalidate the fact that he loves her like a sister, that he would do anything for you. All that is true. But what's also true is that he has always utilized her as a bit of a barrier between him and Lestat. And I think he thought he was going to influence her on his side of things. And while he still loves her, that other side of her is still very much Lestat. She's a hunter. She doesn't give a fuck. She was the first one to turn away and say, I don't give a shit about any of this. So even the plan to take out Lestat was Claudia's plan. And he went along with her plan. So he's always been kind of passive in the manner in which his relationships have transpired with both of the vampires in his life that are now his family. Even though he was showing the sister, the picture of his sister. I'm glad that he still kept it though. That was sweet. And although I get what you, and yes, Louis, same thing. Like, no, that's not one of us. That's not. But for her, she sees herself as just another monster. So that it doesn't look like the pristine version of herself, she feels just as much pity and empathy and sympathy that she can offer because they're in a similar situation where they're outsiders. An outsider is an outsider, even if it's not quite the same outsider as us. And if I can communicate or find some type of commonality between us. And that woman was an old world vampire, by the way. She was creating the ones that were her children were the Revenant vampires. So all that you got, because I was like, oh, that's cute. When you brought up the Vampire Diaries. You could toss all that shit out the window. That is not apply to Anne Rice's vampires. One would say she made the original vampire and everyone else has just been trying to fuck with her shit. But no, these are vampires that are fucked up. You're not going to meet many vampires that aren't fucked up. We ain't even got to Marius. We ain't even got really to Lestat's story. So yeah, you're going to have I'm going to enjoy it too. I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it. Cause it's very rare that I think I forgot that you weren't as familiar with the material. I think I thought you were way more, that you knew a little bit more about, or maybe you watched the movie or something. Remind me if you did or not. But yeah, you got some, surprises waiting for you down the line. And I think that's why I subscribe to the idea that no one is without sin. And I think even Louis, though, makes it clear that whether I fuck it up or you fuck it up, he's committing to the idea that you're going to be enough. For her, Louis is not enough. And that's because she knows what she knows. And that's what I mean. It's like you can have family, but even with family, there is always that other part that you will only share with that special one that just gets you. And Armand is older than Lestat. I think you said Lestat might be older than Armand, but I'll just go ahead and throw that one out there. Armand is way older than Lestat. Like, way older. And that's all I'm going to say. Because, oh, and they're not going to Louisiana. They're going to Paris. They was in Paris, girl. They'll be spending the whole entire season in Paris. You will not be seeing Louisiana again. Sorry. Because I know you clearly wanted to see the bayou at that period of time. But you wouldn't have been seeing anything that impressive. That's for damn sure. But no, we'll be in Paris. Where we will go into a lot of what it truly means to be in touch with these other vampires. Like I said, that's all I'm going to say. And keep mom. If you want to send feedback that's not spoilery, or if it is spoilery, label it spoilery so I can put it in a spoilery section, blackercouch@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment below. My social media will be there as well. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, wherever good podcasts can be found, go down to the rating section, drop some stars, leave a review. I appreciate it. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic.